last trip, he had something he wanted to share, so offer it to him first.
Well, I sort of do. I guess we've all been talking about the soul a lot, and that realm that God has come to deliver us from, and we have been. And, you know, we talk a lot about the oneness that we have in God, and the mystery of God, and we are the mystery of God. You know, we understand that we are what God is revealing in us through the Spirit and Christ. We are becoming as He is. And so I did have a few things here. I'm not sure what all I'll bring out this morning, but I just thank God for what He's doing in us. And I do have some bad news, though. Jesus is not coming again.
Yes, He is. He is coming in us.
Yes, He is, right. But He's not coming in the way, you know, as we used to understand it, you know, appearing in the clouds of glory. We are the clouds of glory that He's appearing in. And we are the earth that He dwells in. And in this container is heaven and earth, the kingdom of God. You know, that's where God dwells. And that's the mystery that's throughout the scriptures that,
yeah.
You know, for most of my life was hid from me. You know, we used to always believe that it was for another time, and when Jesus comes again, we just got to get ready for all that. And thank God that He's opened our eyes and ears to begin to understand these deep things of God, the mystery of God. And it's really very simple. You know, it really is. I mean, there's such simplicity in the gospel. It's just us becoming one in Him. It's not us doing anything except for receiving Him into our being. You know, we are the vessels, the containers, the temple of God. You know, when Jesus said it is finished, the veil to the temple was torn in two. That was that veil into the holy place that no man could enter. But when the veil of the temple, which that was our temple, being torn in two so that the Spirit of God could come within us. See, throughout the ages, you know, before Christ hung on the cross, of course, we know that this was before the foundation of the world. And we also know that we were hanging on that cross with Him. We were crucified with Him. But we live.
Yes.
Because He lived.
Yes.
But yet not us, but Christ in us lives. See, he's the life that we're living. It's not about us or anything. It's all about Him. Yes. And the seed of Christ that's within us that's growing. And what we do here together is we're watering the seed. That's what a lot of people talk about, watering the seed. Because the seed can only grow through watering. And the watering by the word of the Lord. That's how the seed is watered. Not just any word's going to do, you know.
Yes.
That old religious word just don't do anything but tries to suffocate that seed and keep it from growing and all these things here. But we've gotten past that, thank God, that He's revealing things in this day to us. He's unveiling Himself for all the world to see. Yes. You know, everybody's wanting to see God. And most people, a lot of people are going to be real surprised when they do see Him. Because He's not who they're expecting to see. You know, they're looking for somebody outside of themselves, and He's not, you know. He's everything that He is within us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's hard for these crazy minds up here to grasp a hold of that and just realize that we are all that He is. Period, you know, and it's like if we can just stay in tune continuously with the Spirit and what God is doing, you know, it's wonderful, you know. And but unfortunately, sometimes our soul realm still tries to take control and lead us down these crazy pathways that we know don't take us nowhere, but you know, gives us heartache and misery and sufferings and all sorts of stuff, you know. And, you know, we are, you know, we sometimes want to believe that God is in control. But he's really not. God doesn't control anything. He just lives. And out of his life comes goodness and mercy and kindness and love, and everything just comes out from him. But it's not control. It's just life. It's just life is what it is. But I just lost my train of thought there for a second. Hallelujah. But that's where I'm at today, right now. I'm thanking God that he's just unveiling to us more and more who he is, leading us in the path of his righteousness. And like I said, it's not us, it's God in us. But we also have the control of what's going on in our life. And you probably heard the expression, we are what we eat. In the natural, you know. In the spirit, it's the same thing. You know, if we're eating upon the Word, then we're going to become what the Word says we are. But if we're not eating on the Word, if we're eating on the things of the soul realm, the flesh realm, then that's what's going to be our experience, right? You know, if the words that we're speaking is about death and destruction and, you know, sickness and pain and all that, then sometimes that's going to be our experience. You know, as we learn to be in tune with the Father and hear what the Father is saying in us and begin to speak the words that he speaks, then that's going to be our experience in this world. Now we can't just pick and choose any scripture out of the Bible and say, well, I'm going to make that mine or anything, but we must hear God speak that word within our, in our being, within us. And that's why it's necessary for us to, each day, as often as we can, we must set aside time to receive from God that fresh manna that he's speaking to us, that the words of life that's going to sustain us in our walk for this day, for this hour. You know, if we don't do that, then you know, it's going to cause some problems. It really does, you know. It's sometimes we want to get, or I do probably, just, you know, a little passive and like, oh, well, God's going to do it anyway, so, you know, I don't really have anything to do about it. But that's not necessarily true. God is doing it. But our part is the receiving it. We have to learn to receive what God has already given to us and allow him to open up our understanding even greater so that his life can come forth in us. That's a lot of, you know, for a long time, you know, we operated out of the law of sin and death. We know that the law is the strength of sin. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that's lawful, that do this and do that, don't do this and do that, you know, we know that's not God. God only has one law, and that's the law of love. And that's what God is teaching us. Mm-hmm. That's the only law God has, the law of love. That's because God is love. And that's the expression of God, you know, in us and through us, is love. Compassion and mercy and goodness and kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, that's where we're at. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. And we are walking in it, you know, to a degree, and in times, you know, we're walking in that anointing and that love of God is just flowing so beautifully and wonderful through us, you know. And we want to stay in those times all the time, but you know, the pressures of life sometimes come to us, but it's necessary. You know, we're all being tried as with fire. You know, God said his love is a consuming fire. And it will consume, you know, all aspects of our soulish mind that or an enmity against him, you know. Because anytime we're thinking out of that Adam-type nature mind set, then that's enmity against God, and we understand that. So God, in his great love, is burning all that out. You know, that's the chaff and the hay and the wood and the stubble that he's casting into his holy fire to be burned up so that we can completely be joined together. That's what God is doing in us. He's joining heaven and earth, mm-hmm. in a complete union in him. And it's glorious, you know. But like I was saying, it's we have control of how our life is growing. And we have the control of watering that seed of Christ within us. And so in some ways it is up to us. You know, how much of God do we want today at this moment? You know, do we really want all that he is at this moment? Or is there still some thought maybe in our mind of something else maybe that we think sometimes, you know? Is he really enough? Is he really all there is? And these are some of the things that I think on, because I look sometimes at my life, and sometimes I got to be careful because we look at things with our natural eyes and our natural thinking and reasoning, and we're like, oh, you know, and we realize that we still fall short of the glory of God. And that's really all that sin is. It's just falling short of who God created us to be. It's not all this other stuff that we've been told for all of our lives, you know, you're doing this and that, well, that's sinning against God. No, it's just...
it's a result of...
exactly. It's when we fall short of God, that's what we do. We live out of the soul realm. And when we live out of that soulless realm, then that's what we... that's the results of it, you know, this ugliness that we see around us, you know. But we know that all these things are temporal. They're going to pass away. So, you know, what we're seeing and feeling from our natural senses, it's not really real. It's going to be passed away. It's you know, we're going to be in spirit only. In spirit only. We're going to have a spirit body. You know, we are becoming the Christ man in this earth. You know, there's only one. There's only one Christ. You know, but he has many members, and of course we are the members of Christ, but we are also the body of Christ. And so all of us together are the Christ man, Christ being the head. And that's the mystery of God to me. That's what, you know, I believe God is saying to help us to understand and walk in it. And, you know, we can't do anything to cause God to speed up this transformation or whatever, you know. It's God does have a time, in his, as we sing it, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. And so, and patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that means, you know, we must wait on the Lord, you know, because we know that we can't do it. And in his time, he's doing it within us. And it's glorious. You know, what we're experiencing is we're, you know, we're being changed from glory to glory. You know, it's Christ in us who is our eternal hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. You know, that's our hope. And we're not going anywhere. You know, where can we go? I mean, we're in God. God's in us. There's no separation. Never has been any separation except for in our minds. You know, we feel like that we're not walking with God, or we're not where we're supposed to be in God. That's only in our minds. You know, we're never separated from God. Ever. We can't be. It's impossible. If we were, we would be dead. He is the life that sustains us all. And he is our source of life. And, you know, as we come together here and we share with one another, I mean, it's wonderful that, you know, we're all able to talk about some things and that God is doing to help us all in our journey. And because every man's on a journey, and every man's looking for life. They're looking mostly in the wrong places, but that's what they're doing. You know, what all these people are doing, you know, God doesn't hold anything against anybody. You know, they do what they do out of ignorance. You know, they can't help it that their eyes haven't been opened yet to see what we see. You know, but that's going to change. You know, and as God begins to fill us more and more, and we begin to flow more in the spirit and anointing of God, then we'll begin to see many eyes open to see this, what we're seeing, and see God as he is, and many ears will be open to hear the voice of God that they've never heard before. And because, you know, there's many that can't hear God. They don't know what his voice sounds like. They've never heard him speak. You know, and for them, the only thing they know is opening up the scriptures, and they think that's hearing God as they're reading the scriptures. And that's not to say that God doesn't speak to us out of the scriptures, but most people don't recognize it as that, you know. And that's what God is just doing in my life. He's showing me that, we need to take time to, and just be still mm-hmm. and know that He is God. Mm-hmm. He is doing this. It's a great thing. All through the ages of time, you know, we cannot even imagine or, you know, comprehend what is prepared for us. We really don't sometimes. You know, we come up with imaginations about things, and I have even, you know, thinking, oh yeah, it's going to be this way and that way. And we got to be careful even about that, because unless God has really revealed it to you, I mean, I know we're going to be as He is, but how is He really? You know, we know all these things about Him. We know His love, His goodness, and His mercy, and He's compassionate, and you know, He's all of these things. But who is He really? You know, His light. We are light. And Jesus said that, you know, I am the light that lights every man that comes to the world. And so. That's pretty much where I'm at right now. I mean, I did have a lot of fun stuff, but I don't want to get too carried away here. I'm just thankful that, you know, we're able to come together here and join together in God's love and union of His Holy Spirit and be refreshed in Him and just to help one another, encourage one another, that God is working it out in us. You know, we just have to open ourselves up to receive what is already ours. You know, we have all things. And I'm reminded again of, I guess, another scripture that where Jesus spoke, take no thought. Take no thought for your life. And sometimes that's hard to do, you know, to not think about our daily lives and things. And He's not so much even talking about that necessarily, but He's telling us not to worry. You know, about tomorrow or anything that's maybe out there in the future, you know, it's not to do these things, but to completely trust in Him and completely believe and have faith and confidence that He is working in us. And I do remember what I was talking about a while ago, and just come back to me about adversity and tension and things that are seemingly going wrong sometimes in our everyday lives. These are all necessary. You know, that's the trying of our faith. It's necessary. You know, God is teaching us to walk in the kingdom. And this is how we learn to walk in the kingdom. Without adversity, you know, there's no change. You know, when a seed's planted, you know, it goes through all kinds of adversity before that seed begins to grow and break forth out of the ground. Well, it's all necessary. You know, the darkness and all of these things. And we know that the light always overcomes the darkness. And His love overcomes and conquers all things. And so if we just, you know, can learn to just rest in Him. So God's not upset or worried about nothing. God's not fretting over anything. He's not worried about what's going on over in the Middle East and ISIS and all that. And He don't listen to the news, and He's like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now about all this. That's not God, you know. That's us sometimes. That's why, you know, I try not to watch the news anymore, if I can help it, because it's not real. You know, God's not worried about the state of America and our American government like so many people are, you know, how they want to do all this stuff. And, you know, and He's not out there waving an American flag and, you know. Like so many are, you know, like the American flag is their God or something, you know. And it's like, really, you know. So, and I think about these things sometimes, you know. It's like, it's none of this has to do with God, you know. It's all about His life, His kingdom come, His will be done in earth, in us, as it is in heaven, in us.
Yes.
So, I'm just thankful today. You know, being made a part of who God is. You know, as we all are. It's just that many have not yet realized it. So there's no condemnation for anybody. You know, we're made holy and blameless before God. We really are. You know, there's nothing that we've ever done or can do that ever separates us from His love. And that's just wonderful. That's kind of hard for some people to think, you know, that because we've been taught so many things, and sometimes these thoughts maybe still come back. To me, they do anyway sometimes, you know, that, well, if you act this way, God's not going to bless you, or, you know, God can't help himself from blessing us. That's what he does. That's what he is. He's always pouring out his blessings upon us. And we just have to learn to receive them and just learn to rest in him. Take his yoke upon us and learn of him. So, praise God.
Thank you. Beautiful.
We love to hear expressions, you know.
I can be expressive. I get a little excited sometimes, but that's just me. When you know, it's like I get to talking about the things of God. And I get pretty.
That's
excited.
Good.
Because I feel it, you know.
At least you got one.
I feel and hear what God is saying.
You have your emotion in your body. That's good. Express it.
I've expressed it in a lot of other ways most of my life, but thank God he's going to turn that around for an expression of him.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
I let my flesh express itself for so many years, so it's like, well, time to let God express himself in me.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm here for.
Well, he's bringing, we're going to see more correction than we've ever seen because of those that have not been able to connect. We're sent here first to connect spiritually. People come for all kinds of reasons other than, and that's what gets you there. They come to make a living or whatever it is they do, and I'm not saying there are bad things.
Right.
But God is a God of order.
Yes.
And he is extremely military. Mm-hmm. Now that he is. Mm-hmm. That's where we get all of our military order from in this world, is from his, the way he ordered things. If you read Numbers, he had every tribe to march and set up camp where he said to do it. And they strictly had to follow those rules. Deuteronomy is full of rules and certain things that you should do and should not do. Now, he doesn't kick us out just because we missed the mark, because we all missed the mark.
Well, and Jesus had them sit down in 50s and 100s, remember?
Yes, he's absolutely a man of order. And, oh, divine order to me, that's more important than anything. Not that I always follow it. I miss it sometimes. So we need to be honest. But I was looking at scripture this week. It says, fear has torment, which we all know. Because you go to supposing. Suppose this thing happens or that thing happens. Well, so what if it does? I mean, mine and my husband's life, I can only speak for, but I've lived this life. And is it going to come hell and high water? You better believe it. It's going to come heaven. It's going to come hell. It's going to come high water. And what good are we if we're not tested with adversarial conditions? However, that's not to be our ruler and say, well, because this happened, this is going to happen. We start drawing, we start being creators of our own hell.
Yep.
And then when it comes along, we're so surprised. We created it.
Yes, we did.
It's what we liked it, so we put it in a box, we played with it, and we kept it, and we petted it, and we fed it. And now it's grown up, and it's a fire-breathing dragon. And there is no such thing as dragons, we know. Anyway, that scripture in 1 John 4:18, the word fear is phobias. Well, that's a big word in the psychological kingdom right now.
It's like everybody's got phobias.
Psychological has to do with Suke, which is the carnal mind, that soul has nothing to do with spirit. It is not intuition. It is inspiration.
Right.
Spirit is inspiration. Intuition comes out of the psychic realm. I don't want it.
Right.
I want to understand and feel whatever that spirit is behind me or whomever, and you don't get that through intuition.
Nope.
Discerning.
You can't.
It's a discerning, and that comes with growth and a relationship with Jesus Christ. So,
I believe there are many that are living out of that, what you call intuition, thinking that it really is the inspiration of God.
They think it's spirit.
But
oh,
it really
isn't. Listen.
Right.
Listen.
Yeah.
I lived a lifetime of watching that. And there is a big difference.
Yeah.
Intuition will tell you it's going to do thus and so, but it won't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Word of God.
No.
Because it's not spirit. But Scripture says there is no fear in love. And boy, that's a lot to chew on. Because if you go to really thinking about it, how often in your day do you let fear come into your mind and then take your mind? We say, oh, I'm not going to let anything else control me. Well, that's pure BS. Because anytime fear is controlling us. And there's a fine line between fear and wisdom. There is wisdom. But it shouldn't take you to that place where you've got this knot in your stomach and this thing in your chest where there's great fear. So I've experienced that. I understand it and I hate it. And I kind of know when I'm going down that road. So give me 40 acres and I turn that rig around, say, hey, okay, that's the wrong road.
Give me 48 hours.
48 hours. Well, sometimes you don't need quite that long.
Of course, there's many that teach that, you know, that it's the fear of God that brings people to God. No, it's not. I've never come to God because I was fearful of hell or my life being destroyed or anything. I've always come to God out of His pull of His love, you know, never out of fear. Never out of fear.
Fear doesn't work.
I mean, we are to fear the Lord, but it's a wisdom kind of fearing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a trembling type of fearing.
No.
That He's, well, if we don't do good, He's going to destroy us and, you know, whatever. It's not that kind of fear.
It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So that means we're in a state of casting out that fear, and we're all born with them. Every baby is born with 5 fears. We know this. You know, I can't even name them all, but I know one is loud noises and falling, and I can't name the rest. Some of your mothers can, maybe. But anyway, we're born with those things. So we're sent here to be overcomers. He didn't say, when you get down there to earth, when you're a manifestation of me on earth, everything is going to be perfect and wonderful. He did not say that. He let us know that there would be a human life that we had to live under adversarial conditions with Him behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the way it is. So when something comes along, I don't think He was out to lunch.
Right.
I know.
Taking a break somewhere.
But I've learned to say, what is this for? What does this mean? What kind of change would you like in my understanding and my thinking? Because the thinking that is going on in this world right now is more than stinking.
Yes, it is.
It's hot off the pot, the pit of hell, I promise you. Just turn on the news, you'll hear it.
Just when you thought they carnal couldn't get no more carnal, it's becoming even more carnal than it already has been.
Absolutely. So I agree with you. Well, I think we should be abreast of things if we choose to be. I'm not against that.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not against that. But once I get abreast, I don't want to hear that thing that I heard for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
The same thing.
It's all about putting fear behind the heart.
I'm not stupid. I heard it the first time.
Yeah, breaking news.
So,
they get rid of it.
Fear is control, and that's what the media does, our government. They promote fear in people's hearts.
So, anyway, I don't have to
people
hear
are attracted to drama.
Sure.
And, of course, they have to fill the airwaves with something, so they just keep repeating themselves till the next story comes along.
And it's such a negative emotion on there. You know, our black community has just made all kinds of choosing bad mistakes. They have some great leaders that I've heard, and I'm not talking about the negative ones. But there are some great political black leaders right now that could turn this thing around. So I stand with them when I hear them. And, you know, just think righteously. We need something righteous up there. I don't know of one righteous politician.
I say it.
They're all ringing their own bell, mm-hmm. you know.
The five fears that babies are born with, do they have anything to do with the five senses? Are they connected?
They would be connected. Okay. Not well.
I mean, it just hit me when you said that.
That's what I kind of thought too. It must have something to do with the five senses. You know?
I can check it out and write them down. Yeah. We used to talk about them, but I got older and I forgot.
Okay.
Johnny and I were watching a little Facebook video, and they had cute little things babies were doing.
Yeah, I saw
that. And one was sitting in his high chair, and they'd given him like a little animal, a dog or something, and its head came off. He went ballistic.
He screamed.
So they're, you know, they're little. I would never do that to a kid, knowing that I was going to scare him like that. But so that's a fear.
Yeah.
You know, a little fear. And fear also means a penal infliction, which to me is like the penitentiary. It puts you in a place where you're in constant fear and feel like you got locks and bars around you. You know, it's a we make our own prisons, I'm afraid.
Yep.
And this surprised me. And the original said this, it means to continually rap with a fist. Whack, whack, whack. Yeah. I'm going, you know, some days this will happen, that'll happen, that'll happen. I'm going, okay, God, what? That's like rapping with a fist over and over and over. And I wish I could just get it the first rap, if you don't mind. Don't keep plowing away at me. And the thing that got me on this is when I got this scripture, I said, all right, Father, what does this mean to us if I'm to share anything? And immediately my mind went to the scripture in Genesis 2 and 9 that speaks of the tree of good and evil and the tree of life. He says, don't eat of the evil. So I looked up evil, and it was so funny that you started off, not funny, it was so spirit that you started off with this. You said something about the adversary, mm-hmm. and I thought that tree was called adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
Affliction, bad, calamity, whatever your displeasure is, your distress, your grief, your mischief, and your heaviness or wickedness. So it's not that that tree isn't in our midst. We're just not supposed to let it govern us at any time. Good either.
Yep.
It. Some people, and there's a teaching in the land right now that totally is out of whack, and they think they're right on. because they're saying everything is good. Oh, I beg your pardon. What world are you living in? Everything is not good. This is sick. Good means beautiful, sweet, best, better, well-favored. And that took me back to Joseph's dreams. You have to have a little of all of this. In Egypt, he had a dream and went to Pharaoh with it. And in the dream, there were the ill-favored kind and the well-favored kind, which was cattle. And he was told what to do during that famine to store and to save, you know. So there you have your good and your evil, and it comes into everybody's life. Everybody's. But if we go back to Genesis and totally understand it, it clearly states Elohim's period, which is another word for God. All of those Elohims were not God. Some were Lucifer. They were fallen things that we were there allowing to be, and we still allow them to be in our life. I hear people say, oh, well, I wonder if that's evil, and I'm going, what planet did you come from? I mean, how could you possibly know that that's not a snake in the grass? It's crawling over their feet. And I'm going, well, just maybe I'm smarter than some people. I don't know. But it's a no-brainer. If it's in my path, your path, their path, if it's evil, name the dang thing. That's not ought to be, you know, and get beyond it. Don't live on it and build a circus around it or a following. You know, people come across a revelation and next thing you know, they're greater than God. I'm going, sick. We just need to eat of the body of Christ, those things that are eatable on each of our tables, and we each have a table and things to present. One's not greater than the other, and never will be. I hate big eyes. Mm-hmm. I hate them, and little U's. I hate them too. Nobody is a little U, and nobody is a big I. We're all created in the Father's eyes with the same potentials, and we get to choose. We build our world, we create it. We say, I want this, so God gives it to us until it's coming out of our nose.
Until it makes us sick.
Yeah, some things I wanted, I'm going, oh.
What for?
I don't believe I asked for that. But I did.
Well, we got to be careful what we ask for.
Well, I think that we come to the place of, in our relationship with the Father, we come to that place of prayer without ceasing, because we are pressed by our lives and by our choices. Yeah. We are pressed into that place of having to do that to save ourselves temporarily or continually.
Yes.
And so my take on that is throw yourself in the melting pot and let Him decide what the dross is. That's the part that needs circumcision and to be removed. And you think it's not there, but it's always, there's always a remnant. Mm-hmm. There's a remnant in us that rises up in those things and begins to war against the Spirit of God within us. And that holy place wants to consume all the progress and all the love and all the things that have been established. That thing comes up within us and wants to war against that. And that's the thing that He needs to burn out. And so we are in a suffering period somewhat at times. When those things come, we have to look at ourselves and say, what is the root of all my suffering in this situation? And the root of my suffering in every situation always goes back to anger. I have an anger within me that is just so instilled. It's a stubborn anger. It's a thing that I can't deliver myself from. And every time it comes up, it comes in a different way. It comes in a sneakier way, a more bubbling up of something that I didn't even think about, you know. And so I look at myself and I say, Lord, just throw me in the furnace and let it all go. Let it come out, you know. Let it be done with, because I can't manage it sometimes. I can't manage it. I've been in tears for 48 hours. That's why I said that. I've had a real issue the last few days. And I just, and what it boiled down to was, okay, Lord, what's the point? And he said, you're so mad. You're so mad. You're still mad. And I need to get over being mad. It doesn't matter what anybody else did or who hurt me or what happened in the past. I need to get over being mad. And I see that in myself. When things come that I don't have control of, so you know that's.
Well,
I think I need to control everything, but nobody can control me, because I fly by the seat of my pants and do what I wish. Mm-hmm. But I want to control everything else, and I think that's a thing with my life that I have struggled with a long time. And no, you can't dig it out, you can't unearth it, you can't find it. He has to do it. So it's a hard process sometimes.
Can't cast it out.
Well, the moon right now is in Leo, your most emotional sign, and that can be positive or negative. And we moved into Gemini, which is an airhead sign.
Dualistic.
Yes, it's both male and female, as you see up here.
Yeah.
That sign is both the divine masculine and the divine feminine, or the fallen masculine and the fallen. So, and the moon being in Leo affects us all.
Yeah.
Because it is, and Leo is the angriest sign, too. It's full of anger. There's not a Leo that I know that doesn't have real issues with that quick, volatile anger. Not one that I've ever known. They don't have to get a... And your anger comes in different forms.
Yeah, it is.
That's too funny. It's not funny.
It is funny.
I thought, well...
Because I can't recognize it. It's always a different head.
It's on you.
I whack it off, but I can't. It's a different head every time. You know? It's like, what now?
But at least you're being honest, and you're sharing in a group that can cry out for you.
Yes.
And stand with you and watch for progress in that. I think you will progress because you admit you're honest. Mm-hmm. Honesty really goes a long way. You're honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And so few people can be honest with their self. Because then they get to see their backside uncovered.
They don't want that. They try to cover everything up.
Yeah, they can see what's behind them.
Way back in the 90s when I had that dream and you interpreted it for me, I still got it in a notebook. And the one thing that was evident, it was in the bath, and I had this beautiful yellow towel on, but when I turned around, I was uncovered in the back. And Connie made a big comment on that, and I thought, that's so funny. But it's true, you can't see your hiney. It's going to act up.
Yeah, the hinder part.
See, that's what adversity does, too. It also it brings to light sometimes those areas that we're still having struggles with. Because it begins, you know, sometimes the real us begins to come out as adversity comes our way, whether it's anger or whatever else that we might do. So that's what it does. That's what we have to learn to deal with it and how to deal with it through the spirit.
And I got double dutch this time, so.
But like you said, I mean, she said, God never said it was going to be an easy road to travel.
No.
You know, there's going to be tribulations.
I'm not discouraged.
And, have you ever
thank
read
God when we have tribulations. So.
The Road Less Traveled.
Yes, I have.
That book helped me more basic, with basic understanding of life, that Karen must have bought 100 of them. I don't know. She give them to everybody. She found them for a dollar, so she give them to everybody.
You probably need to read it again. It wouldn't hurt me.
Oh, it was precious because I can see those stages. We move from anger to what's the
denial,
next?
Denial.
Denial.
Bargaining. Depression. Acceptance.
And finally acceptance, you know. So when I see somebody depressed, I know they're close to acceptance if they can make that jump. Now, sometimes people can't.
No, they get stuck in the depression.
Well, they like their depression. I found that out. They don't want you to help them.
It gives them an excuse to
be bitter and angry.
Continue their misery. Yep.
They love their misery.
Well, it serves. As long as it serves us, we'll hold on to it.
Yeah.
We don't want, a lot of times, we just don't want to let someone off the hook.
Right.
You know, if someone has hurt us. Mm-hmm. I found that so in my life. I just don't want to let them off the hook. They're not done punishing them yet. Most of the time, they didn't even know they were being punished.
See, for me, it's...
It was just me.
I can't really think of anybody that's ever really hurt me. I've hurt a lot of people in my life. You know, not physically, but, you know, my parents, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, different things. And for me, it was always, my anger was towards me a lot, you know, at myself, or some of the things in the way I acted and behaved. And just, I fought for a lot of years forgiving myself, you know, and it's like, I knew God loved me, I knew He'd forgive me, but I had a hard time forgiving myself. I'd go back into those things sometimes, begin to think of them, and of course, you know, I'd get, you know, angry, you know, at myself again. You know, how could you have been so stupid, you know, to do these things, to hurt these people that loved you? And that seemed like it is, that's the ones that we hurt, the ones that really love us sometimes, and the ones that were closest to us. And,
When's your birthday?
He's an Aries.
Is he?
Yeah. So that's why, you know, from that's been my struggle, you know. And I've heard, I think it was Brother Gary Sigler say this, that until we can really, really love ourselves, we can't love one another. If we can't learn to love us, we cannot love anybody else, you know. And so that's kind of where it starts. Which means loving us is loving God, is what we're doing. When we're really seeing God in us, and that's when we're loving Him, then we can love others.
Well, when we love ourselves, we set ourselves free.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, set ourselves free, we can set others free.
Exactly.
By letting go of all that.
Right.
It just doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it don't, and it really don't.
You can't dwell on the past.
No.
You just cannot, because all of us miss the mark in some way. I know people that pride themselves in how well they did, and I'm going, well, good for you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad for you, if that's really true. But I don't want to look into your heart, because I've got a feeling. But anyway, as for me, missing for an Aries, it's devastating to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. And usually, they are, the repentance takes a while. Mm-hmm. By that I mean for it to sink in, what you did and the impact that it had, because the Aries is kind of full speed ahead with everything they do, you know. They're, how many Aries does it take to turn on a light bulb? Only one, but you better get the hell out of the way. So that's my little light bulb joke for them, but. And it's true, they have a plan, and they want to be first.
Yeah. See, that's the way I, you know, my whole life, when I lived out of the flesh realm mostly, I mean, I did it with all of my heart. You know, when I was drinking and partying, I did it with all of my heart. You know, I had zeal about it, you know. Well, you know, thankfully, prayerfully, God's going to turn that around, and that same zeal I had for that will be for God.
That becomes a strength.
Because I don't know how to do it halfway. It don't work. You know, I've tried that for years, just enough, just part way, just be satisfied with going to church and blah, 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 and be satisfied that God loves you and you're not going to go to hell when you die. No, that don't work for me. It's not enough. I need all that he is.
Yeah.
You know, flowing in my life. You know, to make these changes that are there. You know, to uproot and cut down the stuff that's, you know, up there that doesn't got to go. You know, I can't just do it halfway.
Well, it's beautiful when he takes our weaknesses and he turns them into strengths.
So sure does.
We shouldn't be so careful to knock off the head of our
well, yeah,
our
right,
weaknesses
right.
Because that can be a strength.
Yeah.
Just recognizing
and his strength
you know,
is
what are
perfect,
our weaknesses?
Right.
Yeah. What are they so that can be turned?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's born out of relationship, and that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
We want a relationship that we can trust.
Yes.
And
to trust the anointing.
It's not easy to trust. Not in the midst of a storm. It might be for you, but
no,
it's not for me.
No. I fall apart.
Yeah, a lot of people have trust issues that really are generated the root of them in childhood. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a trust issue, then that's where that came, I think that's where that came from. It's just something that you're always going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, I trust God completely. I just don't trust myself. Well, I don't trust my...
You've got yourself on a
short leash. I don't trust Lester, okay? I don't trust Lester.
You got yourself on a short leash?
Yes, I do. But,
well...
I am learning more to just rest in him, though, and know that
yeah.
He's not condemning me and better get yourself in line. He's not doing that. I realize that. God's not like that. You know, he just loves us and carries us. Does, you know what he does. You know, no matter what we're doing, God still does what he does. We're just not recognizing it, and we're not benefiting from it because we're in our own little stupor and state of mind, you know.
Well, I think we can pause a moment and contemplate that thing. And
yeah,
I don't think we need to dwell there, but
no,
contemplate
sure.
it. Maybe,
right.
yeah, we're going to mess up again, you know,
mm-hmm.
but at least we're aware,
yeah.
you know, so that...
Yeah.
That lessens the strength of it later as we become more aware each time we do it. Because what does it take? It takes, I mean, I'll say 18, 20. You hear different figures to change a behavior. But you first have to be aware of that behavior. And once you become aware of it, then when it pops back up again, you're even more aware. But don't you know, you don't have to dwell there.
Really, since I've had my affliction, I've had to learning to rest. I don't think mankind knows how to rest.
Nope.
Especially in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, for me to learn to rest has been torment because I really thought I knew how to rest. But I didn't know how to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't completely learned it. So God's going to give me one because he wanted me to come to that place, I suppose. I've got one. If he didn't give it to me, I'm in big trouble. Anyway, and, you know, I'll call it good. I haven't liked it because I like to do things. I can tend to be independent, so I like to do things. And I like to get up and do them now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it next week. That makes me so sick. Oh, I'll do that later. I'm going.
Yeah,
right.
but then you can't rest because you're thinking about doing this thing.
Getting it done.
Exactly.
Right.
So we
get
can't rest
done.
Because no, not till I get this done. And then always something else. It's always
yeah.
something else.
The world isn't going to come to an end if it don't get done.
No, it's not.
So I found that out, and I told my husband recently, I said, I never dreamed in all of my life that my house would be in the state it's in. He said, honey, this house is not bad at all. He was just so sweet. Of course, he's a man. Women and men see things so different, you know.
Well, I had a eureka moment after Tim was born, my third. I have four children. Tim was my third, and they sent me home the day after, which was way too
Whoa,
soon.
Really?
And my husband had taken off work. And I'm the kind of person who would buff the floors every day. So I know what you're talking about.
He was one of them floor buffers.
He was one of them people. So I had to sit there, and I did not feel well. I was way too soon. And in fact, had to go back to the hospital. And come, you know, and they treated me, and I came back home again. But I had to sit around. It was really weird, because I had to sit around and just kind of watch everything going on around me.
Yeah.
And for me, that was a new thing. And I had to watch the house slowly disintegrate because my husband was trying to take care of 3 children really now. And I was doing my best to do what I could, but I was really feeling terrible. So in that state of disintegration, it was just really weird. I began to get comfortable in it. It took me a little while. But all of a sudden I realized it's not bothering me anymore. And I could look at it and, wow, what a step I took.
Mm-hmm.
What a step I took. I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there again either. But, I've never been forced to.
I know you hadn't been there again because I know how you are. But
it was really neat to look at all that slow disintegration because it did. It just was like in front of my eyes.
I knew that I had overcome that when I went on a weekend and left all my dishes stacked in the sink, not washed. I said, I have overcome.
Yeah.
I had to come home.
Now that would bother me.
It bothered me until I went out the door. And you know what? When I went out that door, I didn't even think about it again until I got home. And
mm-hmm.
I had to wash them.
It bothers me.
They were
rinsed. Overnight. I have to do them before I go to bed because I can't stand getting up to them. They're dirty.
Yeah, well, I don't want
to
face
to start another later. Day with what was left over from the day before.
No, that's, well,
that's
they
hard.
Won't do that.
That's hard.
Thank God we have, I have a wonderful mother-in-law. She pretty much takes care of all that for us. She lives with us, and she washes clothes, cooks, washes dishes.
I hope
she does
give
so
her
much.
Some sugar once in a while.
Yesterday was her birthday. We had a party over there yesterday. Her mom's birthday.
Oh, that's
yeah,
neat.
She's a sweetheart.
That's so neat.
She's a servant. That's what she does. She has a servant's heart. She loves doing things for people.
Yeah, if you try to stop her or slow her down, she gets a little agitated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah, if she's wanting to do something nice for you, don't try to stop her. Just let her do it. Cause it's
what's her birth sign?
She's a Gemini.
Her birthday was yesterday, whatever
oh,
that is,
okay.
May 23rd, Gemini.
And she does have a twin.
Yeah.
Oh, does
she? Is a twin sister.
Although they're not identical at all. They never were identical twins.
And no other twins in the family,
huh? No, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is. Oh, yeah. Her son, one of her sons, had twins, a boy and a girl. And some like a few more in her family had twins. So.
We've got quite a few sets.
Yeah, twins, you know.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank that. God I didn't have one. One of me was enough. Phew. Mercy.
I think there were two being there all dwelling in the same house.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Like,
what personality do I got?
Thank God it wasn't triplets.
Yeah.
You sound like Rebecca. What is this, Lord, dwelling in me?
What is
it? Oh, there's two nations. I'm going, my Lord.
That's the other mystery right there, yeah, part of it. But we didn't think it was all going to go smoothly, this joining of heaven and earth. I mean, there's such great differences. You know, but that's what's going on. So, yeah, mm-hmm. There's going to be that adversity
yes.
to that.
That's all right. The contrast is good. That we
and sure, and it's necessary. Contrast is a necessary part of it.
You need that duality.
You know?
Yes.
But sometimes we just have to learn to accept it. That's meant to be.
I think Connie has kind of taught us to pound out our firmament so that we know the difference between levels. That,
yeah.
You know, that firmament means something that's pounded out, but we have to do that within,
so
within us. It's
okay.
That working, mm-hmm. working, we're finding that righteous place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we can kind of discern God finally just, you know, in my situation this weekend, I just said, well, what is it? You know, I couldn't figure out why it was happening. And it was outside of myself. What happened was outside of myself. So I just finally said, all right, Lord, what is it? And he said, you're still mad. God, help me.
Oh, that again.
Not again.
No one keeps popping up.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I've laid it down to